7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 3 of Color of Magic. I am your host, Daquan Watson. As always, I'm here with Brian Allen.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how's it going, dude?
Going well. Eldraine is off to a raucous start.
Yeah, no joke. I have been playing so much Magic the last couple of weeks.
I bet you have.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. And you know what else? It's been exciting that we have had over 250 downloads. Actually, almost 260, I think,
what?
As of recording. Yeah, it's pretty insane. This is crazy.
This is surpassing all of our expectations, folks. And by we mean you, because it's you guys' support. We can't do it without you. If a podcast falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, it doesn't make a sound, I promise you.
Oh, for sure. It's like we said before, like if we'd have gotten 50 downloads an episode, we'd have been ecstatic.
Pumped. That would have been the best show by far had this month. It was just 50.
Oh, yeah. And I'll say this, like it also makes this more fun, right? Like we are doing something that we think is important. We are trying to give other people exposure and lift other people up. But at the same time, this is even more rewarding when people are responding to it.
Absolutely. We felt like it was needed. We couldn't believe nobody was doing it. And the response shows us there is a place for this. So,
yeah. Also, there's something very cool. We have 4 new patrons since last episode. Yeah. So we got to give credit to, let's see, the names we got here are DJ Howell.
Hey,
TK. TK's actually been having a lot of discussion with us over on Discord. So that's awesome.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We're talking to TK.
Elliot Scott.
And welcome.
Our most recent patron is one Matt Sterling.
Wait, the Matt?
Yeah, that one. So
the one who thinks most things suck, that guy?
Yeah. So this is one of those things, you know, like Matt Sterling thinks his internet tag is sick of it. So, you know, that just tells you where he's at. But apparently we're awesome and he's not sick of us.
All right.
So much appreciated, because that is just one of those things that is very much a surprise. It's cool that we have kind of top level pro players or recognized people coming out and really supporting us. So in all seriousness, thank you, Matt Sperling, for being a patron.
Yeah, because you know, Sperling is not a common last name. So I'm like, well, it's got to be the same guy, but I still had to go and check. It was okay, same guy, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not sick of everything. This is proof. Also, another thing, we have our postcards in. They just arrived today, actually. I came in my front door. They were sitting in a box. So I will be signing and stamping and mailing, hopefully by Saturday morning, a postcard to every one of our patrons. That's something I'm doing for everybody just as token of appreciation. Everybody who signs up will get a handwritten thank you note and mailed to you on a postcard with our logo.
It might be worth something one day.
Maybe, you know, I don't know how big we'll be, but yeah, I'm down. And yeah, also, if you want to just chat with us, we're available on Discord. That's how I discovered we have a patron from the Dominican Republic.
That's a future road trip right there. As you know, we are.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. It's also crazy because we have people downloading from Botswana, which I saw on the list.
Wow.
Yeah, we got people from all over. So this is very exciting to see how far reaching some of these efforts are. It's very cool. Not what we expected in the least, but it is very, very cool.
You got fans in Botswana now. I gotta update my resume and stuff, you know.
You're big time.
My promotional material. I am an internationally famous comedian now. Okay,
that's true. If you're trying to get a gig at a club, like, that gives you some clout. Oh, also, we've been busy. Man, this last week had so much going on, like for us and for Magic. This is going to be a pretty loaded episode. But we have to tell everybody, we have a Twitch channel now that's set up for Color of Magic. One of the other things we have available on our Patreon is that people will get to select times to play Magic Arena with us. And that will be streamed on there for everybody to watch. It's also going to have some of our own personal streams on there at times. And we're going to probably take some of those videos and also place them up on our YouTube channel.
We got a YouTube channel now, too?
Yeah. We're killing it.
We're going global. This is crazy.
Yeah. So the other thing we're using YouTube for is I have another segment that I put on there right after we're done recording. It's a follow-up episode to each of our recorded podcasts called The Nightcap. And it's basically a very kind of serious moment to do a deeper dive on our dinner table talk segment and have a place to kind of put that that's a little more serious, doesn't necessarily bring down the mood too much here. But it's a way we can have some more discussion and chat and engage more people for our cause, even through YouTube.
And I tell you, I feel like the Twitch channel, YouTube, I think there's more than one of Daquan Watson. I'm serious. Because every day he'll send me a message like, oh, we got Twitch channel, we got YouTube, we got Discord, we got this. And I'm all of this like before 9 a.m. I had a pancake. That's all I've done. So
oh, far. Man. And all of that, I'm still going and doing my day job. So, you know, that's I'm getting I'm stuff done. And also, I will say this. I'm going to apologize up front for the nightcap. It is very crudely shot, but that's also kind of the intended feel of it because it's right after we're done. I mean, you can see my mess of like green screen in the background and, you know, but it's really just to get that thought and the point across while it's top of mind and really having that opportunity to share that moment, I think, which is really good. But with all that out of the way, let's get in some magic talk, man. There was a lot of news last week. We got this week.
Yeah.
It's all starting to meld together.
We got a bunch of deck lists to look at.
So for those of you that don't know, I'm sure you have to know by now that this weekend, by the time you're listening to this, actually, we're about to start Mythic Championship 5 right down in Long Beach, California. So if you missed it, over on the Magic homepage, they actually posted all of the Mythic Championship deck lists, which, to no one's surprise, we had them broke down by type. Thanks to Brad Nelson over on Twitter. He saved me some work.
Appreciate you, Brad.
Yeah, no joke. But about 40% of the field are Golos decks. And I think that's what we expected was going to happen based on recent conversations.
Pretty much. That's why the hammer is possibly floating above our heads right now, like the Sword of Damocles.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I think it's interesting because there's all these weird levels to how you choose your deck, right? It's like, do you just play the thing that's the most commonly known best deck? Do you choose the thing that beats that deck or goes out of its way to try to beat that deck, but is weak against other things, but you assume that deck's going to be like 50% of the field? Or do you play something completely out of left field that has, I don't know, maybe a 50-50 game against the biggest deck, but then is a little weak against something else, right? Like, there's all these different levels to what you could choose, and I'm not even sure what the best way is to go.
Ideally, you know, you would hope that it's kind of a rock, paper, scissors, but I think right now, because we're fresh into the new set, we got a rock. We don't know if there's paper. We're not sure if there's scissors yet, but we definitely have a rock that you can just pick up and beat people over the head with.
I'm not totally sure we know, though. That's the thing. I think we believe a certain thing.
That's true. I think we think we got a rock, and we're not sure. It could be a pebble. We're still waiting for the...
You know, I'm wondering if a lot of these people were to register their decks this week, as opposed to last Wednesday, would they have chosen a different deck?
I'm sure a lot would have, or at least some different cards in these decks, because it just, with Arena and, you know, Twitch, everything is just, the information comes out lightning fast now.
Oh, yeah. Like I've said before, I've had decks, you know, I'd play on a Monday. I played against somebody else on that day. By the time we got to Thursday, my deck and their deck looked different when I run into them again playing ladder. So, like, in a three-day window, we're still playing the same archetypes, but just because of everything we've seen and all the games we've played, our decks have morphed entirely differently. So it's pretty crazy how fast it happens.
Remember the old days where you had to wait for, you know, magazines to come out or word of mouth to find out what people were playing?
Oh, I remember. Hell, I wrote for some of those magazines.
Exactly.
I remember having to wait for checks in between. So
yeah,
I totally get it.
I did a couple of those. Had a couple of spoilers I had to sit on, and it's fine, you know, like, cause in most cases, I'm sitting, like, at work, nobody cares. It's easy to not spoil things at work. When you go to the comic shop and you're sitting on spoilers, like, you don't even want to talk to people. Just, how you doing, Brian? Good. Good. How you doing?
Yeah, no, my secret was always just, I never told anybody what I was working on.
Yeah.
Like, they just knew what I did. Some people knew I had, I don't know, like, special connections and I wrote for things. But that was it. We didn't ask questions. We didn't talk about it. And it was never at risk of ruining anything.
Because it'd be crazy. I'd have in one folder, I'd have actual, you know, like city or state level secret things that I was supposed to know yet. But nobody was ever going to ask me. It was easy to keep those spoilers because 90% of people didn't care.
Oh, for sure. That's most definitely true.
Had people known I had card spoilers, oh my God. Yeah, they would have never had a moment's peace. I also have the city's entire budget for the next 10 years. If you care about that, no.
Oh, no, nobody ever wants, like, the real business, like, governmental stuff. They want the stuff that, like, is hobby-related or things they goof off with. That's the info they want. But, okay, thinking about these deck lists, right, I had this thought. What if some of these players had their Golos list that they liked, but then they had another list that they thought was almost as good as Golos? And, like, you... Because here's, like, a weird... kind of like game theory sort of thing, right? Like, if you think the tournament will be won by either Golos or this other deck you choose, then you're almost better off choosing the other deck. Because on the off chance it actually does beat Golos regularly, you're the only one playing that deck, or one of the few. But if Golos is going to win the tournament, well, it's kind of like you, and based on this list of decks, it's you or one of 28 other people.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's kind of the logic that went into what some of these people had to choose their deck list.
Could be.
It's kind of hard to tell. I have no idea, but I'm just, you know, it's the type of stuff I think about whenever I see all these different lists and, you know, the cards being so different, even between similar archetypes. It's kind of curious how they all made their decision. So I think it's going to be fun. I think there's a lot to it, too, that we're now getting used to these deck lists being out ahead of time for all these major events.
Yeah, this is huge.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's good or bad yet.
I think both. You know, it's great that we can switch information this fast. And like you said, you know, you can play a deck on Monday and it's evolved into something else by Friday. So, I mean, I love that aspect of it. But yeah, the fact that everybody knows literally everything when you sit down.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, got as much fun.
I will say I enjoy it a little bit too, just as a content creator. You know, it gives us something to talk about. It gives us something to kind of lead in as some extra meat and material for the actual tournament, which is good. I think from a player perspective, not a person in the event, but, you know, just an average player looking in on the event, it almost kind of gives you a different player or deck to root for potentially.
Definitely.
That you wouldn't have otherwise, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you gotta figure Golos is the Yankees right now. You're like, you need him there. You need a villain. You need somebody that most people are actively, because you can't have a good hero without a great villain. It's like any other story.
Yeah, you gotta have something to fight against, right? Like, everybody's looking to take down the big bad. And I think at some point, you kind of go, all right, this is just gonna be the monster in the room. Who can beat it? Who can't? And maybe it's an unstoppable monster, and we'll find out in...
Yeah.
Well, like I said, the time of this recording, it'll be at least have an idea in the next 24 hours.
It's an exciting time, folks.
The other news we have attached to this is that they moved up the band list or band announcement. Yeah. So this following Monday, following the tournament, we will possibly have some cards added to the band list. Don't know what formats.
Yeah, you can speak to the history of this more than I can. Usually, I'm thinking, you know, when they move the announcement up, does that generally mean something's going to get hit? Because you figure you wouldn't move it up, you know, if you weren't going to touch anything, I would think.
It's not something, it may have happened one other time. It's not something they generally do. Usually, if there's something like that, it's just an emergency banning and they just do it. So, I don't know. I think, in this case, I think it's a matter of still having two more large, high-profile tournaments that are going to happen in this format. If this format is unbalanced or viewed as bad or just makes for bad viewing,
yeah,
for whatever reason. I mean, because it is possible that if you end up with a bunch of, like, Golos decks or Fires decks playing against each other, and they're just boring to watch and they're unexciting, you don't want that either. Like, even if the format's fun, if it's not fun to watch, that's kind of bad for business. This is just the world we live in now. I know people don't want to look at it that way, but it's true.
But if if we look at just the history of things, this is how, you know, this is how competitive games work. Why'd the NBA, you know, take out all the hand checking and all this stuff? Because it was boring to watch. The Pistons were very effective, but nobody wanted to watch them play hockey on a basketball court anymore.
I mean, it's my gripe I have about baseball is you keep pushing for the best thing that happens in baseball, which is a no-hitter, which is technically nothing happening.
Yeah. One of the great George Carlin bits of all time. This is the greatest thing that can happen is one team doesn't even hit the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally it, right? I get it from that standpoint. But, you know, it's also possible we get down to the top four and there's a Golostek, maybe one Gruul Aggro, one of the Mardu Knights decks, and one of the Simic Ramp decks.
Knights, baby. I'm so happy to see there's three Knights decks. I've been on that since, you know, episode one. There's at least three. I'm going to lose my mind if one of the Knights decks.
Well, here's the thing. Not only are there three, they actually look different. That's the thing. It'll be interesting to see what version is even better.
Exactly. Because I've heard a lot of people say, you know, yeah, at the beginning, I was on Knights charts and all the lists I saw everywhere weren't running it. Then I read that somebody wrote a whole article somewhere about how important Knights charge is. I wish I could remember exactly who. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, this is going to be a wild time. I think it's going to be a fun event to watch. I think it's going to be really interesting. And it's, in a way, it's kind of fun. Like, knowing the ban list is coming, it is possible that the results of this event won't even matter because the format's going to look way different come Monday.
Yeah.
But we have the other option that it's kind of exciting because it's sort of like there's a lot at stake, right? Like, if it isn't really balanced and all these other decks actually can fight Golos, then they probably say, cool, we don't touch anything on the ban list. And now the odds are even higher for these results. So I don't know what to make of it, but I think it's going to be very, very interesting to watch.
I will say I just used my Mythic Rare to craft Oko. So Oko's probably getting banned. That's usually how my luck works. Just got the cool card. It ain't going to work anymore.
Fortunately, I haven't put Oko in a list yet, so I'm not in danger.
And all I did was I have a green food deck. I put him in there just to make food tokens. And oh, wait, he does all this other broken stuff that I just noticed. Okay, I see you.
Yeah, people were talking this week. I saw a couple of articles where people were just asking, like, is Oko the best planeswalker they've made? Or at least the most powerful? And that might be true. I mean, we'll find out a little bit more this weekend.
And at the beginning, I mean, I didn't hear anybody, you know, talking about him, you know, because we were reviewing things before the set, or maybe I missed it, but I didn't hear people thinking he was going to be this good.
Yeah, I think there were people that thought it was a good card and that it would be strong. I just don't think people thought it would be dominant. I can't say that I...
Now you're coming out like Drake, last name ever, first name greatest.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it's totally dominant yet, but it's definitely really, really strong in a lot of matchups. So, well, I'd be interested to see how strong or how powerful, how much the impact is this weekend. Because there's a few people playing it, so we'll see what happens. Another interesting thing, too, if you're looking at these deck lists, there's two things that stood out to me. One was that only six people didn't register Forest on their deck list.
A lot of trees. You quite literally cannot see the forest for the trees right now.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that you see that much of a color played in a tournament. So that's pretty interesting in and of itself. The other is that there are seven different deck lists playing Embercleave. I just want to point that out.
Daquan has been on Embercleave since, you know, episode one. I'm sure he was telling other people before that. And we talked about this on one of the podcasts, and literally the next article I read was like, hey, I think people are sleeping on Embercleave. So I'm...
Yeah, like I said from the beginning, I just listened to a podcast earlier today on the way home where one of the players was talking about, oh, well, you know, this opportunity cost isn't good enough on Embercleave, and you know, you have to go wide to be able to play it. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, I have often attacked with just two creatures and cast Embercleave. Like, I honestly don't think I've cast it for 2 mana more than twice. More often than not, I'm casting it for 3 or 4 just fine, and it's still helping win games. I would be willing to take a bet with somebody if they want to send me a message on Twitter or whatever that Embercleave is going to I would say Embercleave will probably win at least 3, will be responsible for winning 3 televised games this weekend.
Shots fired right there, folks.
I'm just saying, the card's good. The card is good. And some people are playing 3, and one list, I think, had 4 copies even. So people are really leaning on this card.
So yeah, if it's good at 4, obviously on that, you know, rare occasion that you hit it for 2, even more ridiculous.
And this isn't even all the news. There was more. Just this week, Channel Fireball posted up the new list of GP locations, or I guess Magic Fest locations that will have Grand Prix for 2020. We had a few less than last time. I miscounted the first time we put them up. I went back and counted. There were 42 on the list, which is down from 49 this year. But I will say this, Wizards has lately been adding a lot of last second events. So it's very possible, like, you have these Command Fest events coming up. Those will probably get added to the schedule. Some of the events may probably end up going to 2 or 3 day kind of special things like they've done before with like Seattle and Vegas. Yeah, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
We're already saying the Mythic Championships could be kind of like the Hunger Games. We got a lot of events, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, on top of that, don't forget, we're going to be moving to this new world of organized play where they have the Players Tour events, I believe is what they're called. And those are going to have 3 weekends taken up next year where those are all going to be streamed with coverage as well. So those events will also be happening around all these Grand Prix. So I guess technically if you count the 9 of those plus the Grand, you have 51 events really this year, I guess, or this coming year. So there is a lot of Magic to be played is what we're saying. Almost every weekend.
It is a good time to be a player. An even better time to be a content creator.
Oh yeah, almost every weekend there's going to be Magic or pre-release. You know, whether it's pre-release, Grand Prix, Mythic Championship, Players Tour events, not counting all the Star City things or anything else anybody wants to stream or put up. I mean, there is a ton of Magic being played right now. This is like, if you're a player that started playing Magic in the last, let's say, 4 years, man, you have no idea. Like, I almost want to sit here and be like, back in my day, y'all ain't here. Like, you know, like, it's crazy. Like, the fact that you can go in almost every city, just go find a place that's just playing Magic tournaments, even during the week. Now, you don't even have to wait till Friday Night Magic or some Saturday cash tournament anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you can play Magic all week if you want to in most major cities in almost any format you want.
I would even say, I would even go ahead and, you know, count, you know, like my home Shreveport Bossier and you get at least a good half a week's worth of Magic. And it's, you know, it has major city like tendencies.
I love how you said it has major city tendencies. I'm gonna have to use that sometime.
We're almost there. We're not quite NFL team big. We're Cowboys Saints preseason scrimmage, and that's gonna sell out big.
Well, to be fair, I'm in Seattle right now, and we are big city big, and I'm still looking forward to getting me some Seattle Dragons tickets and watching some XFL. Yeah. That's so, you know.
And they're doing a good job of drafting, you know, local guys. And hey, we'll hopefully bring an audience.
So transitioning now from our Magic coverage, because that was a lot to take in there. This is normally where we would have our weekly interview. Unfortunately, we had some difficulties with our guests this week, so we don't have a guest, which is kind of sad because I've gotten a lot of comments that people love hearing the doorbell.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more doorbell. I'm sorry, had to. 10 hat comedian points right there.
That's okay. We have doorbell.
Still there.
So yeah, the thing is this week, it's kind of okay because we have some great guests lined up for the next couple weeks. So we will be back to doing interviews. But in all seriousness, to kind of give some background to this whole thing, I'm actually part of several groups still from when I owned my store. I actually have been very lucky to help start several retailer groups for people to kind of like just get help from each other and, you know, people that are starting up businesses and stuff like that. And in this one of these particular groups, there is a gentleman. His name is Sherman Sanders. He owns Griffin Games and Comics in Fort Collins, Colorado, who had somebody write a letter to his store. And the reason, and I got permission from him to share this. And the reason I think it's important is, you know, because we talk about why these efforts are needed, you know, that we have going. So this is kind of going to be our theme for this week's dinner table talk. We're just going to jump right into that. That we want to talk about, you know, the things we're doing are important because we're trying to lift people up and we're trying to get exposure for people who wouldn't have it otherwise. But I think sometimes people can say, like, is this really still a thing? Is this still something that goes on in the game industry? I want to take a second to just read this letter that was written to Mr. Sanders here at this game store. And while I'm reading it, I want everybody to just take in the fact that this person felt so not just privileged, but like entitled that he felt the need to write this to somebody about their business. And then afterwards, Brian, you and I can kind of dissect this whole thing and really like,
I can't wait.
Yeah. So, and for the record, this is all verbatim as the letter was. Like everything I will accentuate, highlight that I call out is literally as it was. So it says, okay, here's my two cents. You do have a beautiful store, but sadly, I felt when I came in, I was not welcome. In parentheses, straight white male. I'm not a fifth edition player, and he's speaking about D&D there, and certainly didn't like Pokemon or any of the emasculating games, which I don't even know what those are. Asia,
I'm frightened. Yeah. Know what kind of game he's been playing.
Any of the emasculating games Asia offered, which I believe is Mr. Sanders' wife, that you currently sell. Also in parentheses, maybe not enough of. There simply is nothing for me here except a good cup of coffee. There are no old school style games or even gamers that would attract a crowd with money. And that is the crowd that created the game industry in the first place. Nor,
wait, what?
No, hold on. We'll get to it at the end. Just hear me out.
Yep.
Says, nor is there anyone that has any knowledge of the beginnings of role playing. Maybe parents bring their kids and you want it to be a certain specific safe place, which is fine for kindergartens and such, but you are not a daycare. The feminism and girl power thing is also a bit off-putting to men that are, capitalized, your source of revenue. I understand your wife really runs things, but it simply doesn't work. I hope you get the money, I really do, but your base is not what you would like to think. You would almost be better off buying used 1st, 2nd, and 3rd edition books off eBay and reselling them for a bit of profit at your store. Best of luck, and I hope some of this seeps in. If not, Fort Collins, Colorado could always use another daycare facility. That's literally what somebody took the time to write to this guy's business. Like, and let's start at the top, right? Let's just go down the list. He at least compliments him and says his store is nice, so there's that. But he's saying he didn't feel welcome
because straight white male.
Yeah, because there were emasculating games. I don't even know what the hell that would be. And I've been in the game industry on the business side for 20 years. Like, I don't even know what even classifies.
And I'm married, so I've been emasculated for 20 years, and I still don't know what he's talking about.
For real, I don't even understand that, right? And then he says, like, let's see, going through here, there's no old-style games. Oh, okay, this is the other one that got me. He says, or even gamers that would attract a crowd with money. So he's effectively saying, well, you're marketing to the poor, so you're not going to get any money. Like, what the hell?
He's kicking everybody. It's just there's almost no group that does not get attacked here.
Oh, yeah, because then immediately after that, he just follows up on like, well, you had kids in the store, so you must be a daycare.
He hates the kids.
How do you think you have future gamers and future customers if you're not cultivating them when they're younger and getting them interested in gaming or in Magic or in D&D or Pokemon or whatever?
This doesn't sound like a guy that has kids, because I know as a parent, I treasure the time that my kids want to play any of the same games or have any of the same hobbies that I have. Because you're going to wake up one day and you're not going to be cool anymore.
Yeah, they're going to turn 13 and you're not going to know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah. I treasure the time when, hey, daddy, you want to play, you want to play Smash Brothers, want to play a board game? Absolutely, I do. I'm assuming this guy doesn't have kids.
And then he goes off on like the guy's wife running the store, and apparently that equates to feminism and girl power. And then he assumes that only men are the real source of revenue for these game stores. Yeah, and here's the thing. For anybody who doesn't know, go ask anybody you know that's in marketing, and they will tell you that in almost every study for, I think, the last like 50 years, women controlled more of the purse strings at the households anyway.
Yeah. That is absolutely true in my place.
Like, this whole thing is just crazy. But this is the thing, right? And the sad part is, I know this is a true realistic thing because I had these people walk into my store straight to my... Like, I had somebody look me dead in the eyes and tell me, like, oh, well... This is a great game store for being a black-owned business.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? What is what? Like, that actually happened.
You think that's a compliment. Those words don't mean what you think they mean.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, these people exist.
Did he follow that up by telling you how well spoken you were and clean and good stuff?
No, he seemed surprised, but he at least didn't say it that time. That is one of the worst things. Like, here's the problem I have with that statement is that when I've taken the time to put together a presentation, do my research, like put all this great info together for you, whatever, and then when I'm done, the best you say is like, oh, you're so well spoken. I'm like, that just undermines all the damn work I just did. Seriously.
Didn't split any of your verbs or your tenses. Well done. No Ebonics in your presentation. Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't even, like, it's just too real, man. It's all too real.
No. I remember so many people being just amazed that I could both speak and write. Almost were like, who taught you all that?
Legal education now? It's just frustrating, you know. And that's the stuff I try to tell people, that, like, this is still a thing. And when we talk about lifting people up and getting people exposure, it's not at all about trying to just chase everybody away. Because, like, I mean, you and I both, we have plenty of white friends. We have plenty of people that we know in the game industry. We have plenty of people we love that have come to our houses and spent the night at our places and been on road trips and whatever. Like, we're not trying to get rid of all those people. All we're trying to do is create a comfortable situation where more people feel welcome to come speak up, that we have more people that feel welcome being part of the industry and sharing their ideas. You know, this comes back to those conversations when I've been at conventions and seen panels with 8 people and there's not one person of color. Hell, you're lucky if there's a woman. And you have to question, like, well, how are their next projects going to be attractive to the maximum number of people?
Yeah.
You know, when you look and say, like, oh yeah, we believe in diversity and whatever, it's like, and you couldn't find one person to add to your panel that looked different.
We believe in it, we just don't actively practice it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you have to spend a lot. I'm not saying you go out and, but I mean, I have been available on more than one occasion that had somebody come to me and said, you know, you're a black business owner in this industry, or you've worked on these projects, or you've done this thing. Like, I can't offer you much, but maybe like free convention passes and I don't know, something small. would you be willing to come be a speaker or be on our panel? Like, yeah, I probably would have said yes, just for educational purposes.
Exactly. And I mean, I've been in newsrooms that are the same way, where there's maybe one or two black people, and then they wonder why they miss out on stories, you know, or just one or two people of color just in general. And they wonder, well, hey, when that, you know, that hey, Hispanic Heritage Month happened. Why did nobody mention that? Well, because there's nobody here who would have occurred to.
It's sad, but true. I mean, that happens sometimes. I mean, we've mentioned that I have a list that's got like 50 personalities, businesses, whatever, that I'm still looking into that we're trying to line up to be on the show. And none of them have said no so far, because they all have looked and said, man, it's awesome. I would love to be on there. Like, this is a space where somebody gets it. I can talk about certain things and not be uncomfortable. Like, I've heard so many different statements similar to those already. Like, and it's not that these people don't want these other groups around. It's not like, I think the thing to point out is when there's an effort, especially in the game industry, to bring people of color together, or any of the minority group, whether it's women or disabled or whatever, it's not to exclude everybody else. It's to give those people a group that understands what they're dealing with, what they're going through, has lived similar experiences, and try to work through things to push through whatever barriers they have. That's what's going on. And the same thing here. Like, you know, us, I mean, I'm not going to say there will never be like a non-person, like a white person on our show or whatever. Like, there probably will be. There are cases where it makes sense to have them on. But the majority of our guests will be people of color, because right now they don't have a lot of spaces. They don't have, like, if you look around the Magic scene, I mean, we have a couple of judges. There's one or two that you see at the top levels of players. We have, I guess off the top of my head, an announcer, I think Cedric, like, that we see do coverage of any kind. Like, he's our one. You know,
everybody knows it.
Yeah, you just don't see them.
The cursory head nod right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but you just don't see them. And this is an opportunity for all these people to get exposure and get out in front of people and really kind of help show everybody, like, man, there's a lot of cool ideas. There's a lot of these people that are wanting to do awesome things. And ultimately, if we want the game to grow and we want Wizards and Hasbro or whatever to get access to more resources and for the game to explode into more countries and, you know, do all these things we want, well, it has to be more inclusive and accepting. There's no way around that.
It amazes me that people don't get that. You know, we all want this hobby to grow. I want more people to play Magic with, and not less.
Man, I will tell you, one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me with Magic is there was one day I'm at the DFW airport, and I believe I was going to be flying out to Gen Con one year, I think is when this happened. And I'm sitting there messing with a deck of Magic cards I happen to have in my bag. I think it was like a standard deck at the time. And another player passes by. And for the purpose of the story, I'm only assuming he's Korean, as he was an Asian gentleman and he had Korean cards. That's all I know for this story. But he comes over and all he says is, he just asks. He says, "You play?" And I'm, "Yeah." So he sat down. He looks at my cards. Like, he has a standard deck. We shuffle up. We play. I knew what all the artwork did, but between us, we may have, only thing I think we said in common really were numbers and maybe five words. Otherwise, we pointed, you know, when something blocked, we put it in front of a card, you know, and we played Magic for like an hour until he got his flight called and he left. Like,
that is awesome.
Yeah, but it's a thing that if you're not more inclusive and welcoming and whatever, like, those moments don't happen. Like, if we're not trying to grow the game and we're not trying to get rid of these idiots that wrote this letter to the store, like, we're not going to have those opportunities. I mean, because really, think about if you're, like, even if just two of these guys or the types that wrote this letter. And I'm not even saying, when I say these, I'm not saying straight white males. I'm saying particularly straight white males that have this absurd logic and attitude, because I know that is not the majority of straight white males that play Magic. But to this point, like, if even two of those people show up to a store on a Friday night, or even just some big Magic tournament you're running, and they sit down across a table from a woman with that type of, talking about, like, I don't know, emasculation and feminism and whatever, she's not going to want to come back.
Yeah, why would she?
If now, granted, you know, if some person of color is hanging around and you hear these dudes next to you or the table over complaining about all these people that don't have money, and I don't even know why they're all here, because they're not really the target demographic to help this place make money or this event or whatever, why are you going to want to come back?
Yeah. Magic is supposed to be stress relief. If I want to hear about how much money I don't have, there's plenty of other places I can go.
But this,
that's not what I want for my Friday Night Magic experience.
Well, that's very true.
I don't think anybody does.
And that's the thing, right? Like, these people exist. Like, it sucks, but we should be doing everything we could to just oust those people. And what's funny, now that I'm thinking about it, even in his own thing, he talks about, oh, well, you know, people need to have money and they're not the ones who started this industry or whatever. The majority of people that played D&D back, and they were playing in their parents' basements while they were in college or whatever. So I don't even know if he's accurate on what he believes, that his revisionist history of all this.
In many cases, it was because you couldn't afford new video game system 2064 or whatever. So yeah. You had to learn. Or you have used your actual imagination and make, you know, make social interaction through things like cards and board games.
But yeah, I don't know how people like this expect the game to go on, or any game that they're into for that matter. Like, how do you expect the industry to survive? Like, if you're saying
they want it to be straight, white, and male, apparently.
Not just that. They want it to be straight, white, male, with some amount of money that's also older, you know, like all these like very specific things for this person to be happy. And then what?
Somebody wants their local comic shop to look like Congress for reasons that only they know.
Man, that's sad but true. Like that's real. But yeah, I think that's the thing we kind of just keep coming back to. Like, just the whole point is, this is why these efforts are needed. When we look and say, this is why we're doing it, it's because people are dealing with these types of issues every single day. And I'm not going to sit here and say, when I had my store, this was like, oh, I got one of these people every day. No, but you know what? I got them more than you would think. I mean, there were several times I probably went stretches where I might get a couple in a month. I rarely probably went a month without seeing it happen. And those are only the ones that like spoke up.
Yeah.
So that
sometimes
means,
it's just those looks, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are times I was aware that somebody was uncomfortable or didn't think I should be there or whatever. But at least once a month, I would say somebody said something in some way, shape, or form. Whether I was at an event helping with a school, somebody in my store, you know, who knows? People we encountered at like the fairs that we would set up at, there was always somebody. And it's tough because I get it. If you don't ever experience this, you don't know that it's happening. You know, one of the things that, and we talked about this off the air, was that as a man, there are things that I don't know about that happen to women. And at one point there is a very, I won't say it on here, because just to keep it PG, you know, or at least PG-13 at this point. But there is a thing that has happened to several women that I was not aware of. And hearing it from four or five different women that weren't friends and didn't know each other, I have to immediately just assume like this is a real thing. Just because I never witnessed it, or because, you know, it never happened to me or never happened when I was around or whatever, doesn't make it untrue. At some point, you have to believe the people that keep coming forward and saying, this thing happens.
Message!
And now, my thing has been actively trying to find those things so I can make sure it's not happening. Like, And that's all we're asking for here is like, appreciate the people we're trying to lift up. Reach out, support their causes, support their efforts, help them get their exposure, help lift them up. And then on the other side, shout down every one of these knuckleheads. And I'm using the term knucklehead because I don't want to say something else that will get somebody in trouble who's listening to this. But, you know, shout down these knuckleheads that are saying all this other dumb stuff that are making everybody uncomfortable. You know, if you have a person of color in your life that is a gamer, why not just ask them? Just say like, hey, how often does something like this happen? How comfortable do you feel going into these certain spaces? Like, what type of things push you away or that you almost kept you from becoming part of our group or whatever? And you might be surprised at the answers. I mean, I'm sure you also have similar issues or things you probably encountered.
Oh, yeah. We talked about, you know, things like, oh, you're playing that deck because you don't have any money or, you know.
Yeah, that's a thing. And I mean, I'm sure it applies to everything, right? I'm sure you encountered it when you go and have applied to try to get gigs at comedy clubs or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just and as I said, it's not just white people. I have, you know, go to clubs where like my material, they tell me my material isn't black enough, you know. You need more project jokes, but I didn't grow up in the project, sir. So I mean, sometimes black people assume that too. You know, like, now I really grew up in a very small town, very very country upbringing. So as we mentioned, I love country music. I grew up in Mayberry for all intents and purposes.
And I think that's something you bring up a good point there, right? Like, even for people from either side to like feel a way about an entire group of people takes away your individuality.
Yeah.
Like they're saying, oh, well, you obviously are black, so you should know about all these things. Not taking into account that, like you said, that you just didn't grow up around that. Like those weren't your interests growing up. Like you were enjoying a thing an entirely different way, and that is fine. But they don't know that because they haven't gotten taken the time to know you.
Yeah.
But.
And I mean, there have been times where, hey, to get the paycheck, I'll go out there and do the incredibly edgy, hey, black people do this. And white people do this. And, you know, I think it was Tracy Morgan that does a bit on 30 Rock. Like, white people dial the phone like this. Did they really? That's what we're getting. Yeah.
And, you know, and that comes back to that whole code switching thing and just understanding how you have to communicate or what the expectations are in performing or communicating or whatever with different groups and cultures. And it shouldn't even be necessary. You know, it's funny because, you know, even when I was growing up, like the idea of there even being black nerds was rare.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I still did athletics and everything else, but like I also played the saxophone and I played lots of Magic and D&D, and you know, I had a diverse set of interests, but there were a lot
I was my town's black nerd because it was a small town.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just one of those things, like it had to start somewhere. You know, like, but it's becoming much more common now, and it's a thing, like everybody's accepting and everybody's trying new things. So don't let these other people stifle the growth and the efforts and everything that's going on.
Like you say, now, like you were talking about, we have groups, you know, that are black girl gamers, or, you know, the cookout that we mentioned before, where it's a whole gathering of people with the same cultural background and the same cultural interests, because now we have the internet. We can find our tribe easily. And again, it's not that, you know, we want to exclude any of our white friends who we love. It's just nice to meet people that have the same, you know, background, that have had kind of the same experience of being maybe the only person in their family that's into magic or board games or anime or, you know, insert pop culture passion here, you know.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, I would say in my family, to my knowledge, I am the only one that plays Magic for at least covering three different generations, the one before and the one after me. I am the only one, to my knowledge, that plays D&D at all.
I'm going to say I would fall into that category in my family as well. Shocking no one.
Now, if you want to get real, I mean, we'll still play some spades and some dominoes or whatever, you know.
Uno, we will, you know.
But at the end of the day, you know, that's about individuality, you know, and not everybody's the same. But you're not going to find that out by just having these preconceived notions about an entire group of people. And bringing the point back around, like we said, none of this that we are doing with the show, with any of our related efforts, with any of the things we're participating in, are about shoving people out, except for these knuckleheads writing these letters with these views. It's simply about lifting up more people and making it more balanced and giving more people more opportunity and exposure. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I guess we've talked about the letter at length. I guess just to sum up my feelings on this, the amount of privilege on display here is mind-boggling, headache-inducing. And like you said, that he felt comfortable firing this off. And the crazy part is, as with many people that, you know, write these letters and go on these diatribes, they feel like they're helping.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just my two cents.
Like I said, it's not just privilege. It's the entire sense of entitlement that, like, everything should be exactly as I want, built for me as I see it. And if it's not, it's wrong and your business is going to fail.
Is there a level beyond entitlement? Because that's where he is. Entitlement is what and again, we've dealt with people like this. You know, in my line of work, I would tell somebody, you know, hey, you're welcome to get your own comedy show. If you have the resources, your own comedy club, your own podcast, your own Twitch stream, what have you. I don't want this guy to start his own store. It's just, I don't think it's going to be a place I'd want to hang out.
I will wrap this up with this point, just so everybody knows that I'm sure some people are curious what the response was to this letter in this particular group. And I want everybody to know that everyone to a person in the group pretty much shouted down this letter. And
that is great.
Most of the owners even said, just, I would blow this up. I would frame it. I'd put it right next to my register to basically show anybody who's curious that your store is everything that this guy doesn't like. So for anybody that's curious, at least this current round and generation of the business owners get it. And they're trying, and they want to have, like, they, even just from a business aspect, like, they want to have more people and a larger, diverse customer base and people of all ages and whatever. Like, they are trying and they get it. And they hate people like this just as much as we do. But on that note, we will wrap things up. We're hitting about the hour mark here.
We're working on a gospel sound effect for when we, you know, go.
Yeah, exactly. I know people love the soundboard, so we're going to add some more things to it. But, you know, overall, I want to say, like, it's just cool that everybody's appreciating the efforts that we're putting out there. I'm glad everybody's coming along for the ride, and we are really enjoying doing this. And it's nice to get these different perspectives out there so people can just understand and see what's going on. Because a lot of people just may not have people they can talk to or understand people outside of their social circles. I mean, matter of fact, I had a letter from a random person, to my knowledge, on our website. And they said, you know, I don't know if I'm even the target demographic that you're trying to reach being a white person, but I really appreciate the show. And this is the type of content that I think is needed and what I've been looking for. So it's at least reaching the right people. And that's good.
That is great. We're excited. This is my first podcast. And boy, I don't think I would. I can't imagine, you know, following this with anything else. This is just, you know, the quad has spoiled me for any other podcast anybody's going to try to talk to me about. This is, like we said, this is things that, you know, people have needed to talk about in this space. We weren't sure, you know, what the reaction was going to be. The reaction has been great. So both of us were shocked that nobody was doing anything like this already because it's been so needed.
It really has.
I think the response indicates that, hey, these are things that people want to talk about.
Well, we're ramping things up. We're just kind of, as they say, looking at the tip of the iceberg here. Like, we have a lot in the bag. We've got a lot of guests lined up that are be coming through. We have some topics that we're going to get pretty deep on. And even with this one, I have some extra stuff up ready to go for the nightcap afterwards, if you want to go follow that up on our YouTube page.
Got my Cavassier right here.
Exactly. So, Brian, why don't you give everybody your social tags so they can find you online?
Okay. I am on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter as DL Caesar. It's spelled just like the Roman Emperor. For those of you that are into more, family-oriented YouTube, we have a YouTube channel called Alan's Ever After. That's just me and my family and some of our adventures. I believe that is everything that I have on social media, right? But there, again, everybody, please jump in the Discord also. Let me throw that out there again.
Yeah, as usual, I am Power Dragon, PowerDragn, on just about all social media platforms and video games if I happen to be on there. If you're ever curious, look up Power Dragon, and you'll probably know if I'm playing that game or not, because I use the same tag I've been using for, gosh, 25 years.
He's not joking. So my Xbox is Power Dragon.
If you're looking for us, that's a place to find us. And like I said, follow up and check us out on the Nightcap over on YouTube. Other than that, please share the podcast around with your friends. Keep telling people about it. I think we're reaching the right people. It's a very fun and powerful effort. So the more you share it, the more it helps everybody out. And let them know that we can be found on just about all the major platforms now. I think we're on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Podbean, Stitcher, have some episodes on SoundCloud. Actually, iHeartRadio just got back to us. Our RSS feed's even over there.
Nice.
So yeah, that's it. So on behalf of myself and Brian, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. We'd love it if you could follow us at patreon.com/colorofmagic. We're also on Facebook and Twitter under Color of Magic. You can go to our website and see blogs and updates at colorofmtg.com. We also ask if you could share this podcast with your friends. We can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podbean. Every little bit helps. And again, thanks for your support.